The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
Tinfoil hat.
Oh, what the fuck are you guys even talking about?
Global controls will have to be imposed, and a world governing body will be created to enforce them.
Welcome to Tinfoil Hat. We go deep, homeboy. Eric, open your mind. Drink from the fountain of knowledge. There's lizard people everywhere. That's some interdimensional shit. Wake up, Aaron.
This is only the beginning.
Dude, you just blew my mind.
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
Revolution will be podcasted.
Yeah, welcome back, guys. Super excited for today's show. Thank you all for tuning in, Tinfoil Hat. You know who I am. You know what I'm here to do, all right? Joining me, as always, my partner in crime. I love him. I'm happy he's on the show. He's one of the only sane people I've ever worked with. I'm super appreciative of him. The one, the only, Xavier Guerrero, XG, the place to be.
What's up, dude?
Nada.
Dude, you got to burn some people.
Okay, sometimes you got to burn the fucking bridges because it's the light back to where you came from. Guys, shout out to all the people listening, all the kind words, all the fans. Shout out to all the haters, too. I love you all. I appreciate everything you do. You let me know we're doing wonderful work here. And again, I just want everybody to know something about the show before we get into it. It is just the training wheels of conspiracy. I want people to watch this who are kind of white belts, green belts, whatever. Watch it. And if you like it, go do some deep dives. Our guest that's on today, he's wonderful at it. There's a bunch of people who do some deep dives into all this stuff. This is meant to get you a little hooked, get you a little taste of it. And then you go find it, man. It's all love, dog. It's all love. Man, I want to thank everybody at Indianapolis, everybody at St. Louis, at the Heliums. Thank you for coming out. We packed them out, late show Friday, really early show Saturday. Both shows were amazing. To the lady who came with the Earth is Make Earth Flat Again hat, God bless you. Thank you. You got me in a ton of trouble. But besides that, thank you so much. Thank you to everybody who came out, all the guys who bought shirts, all the smoke shows who come. I started realizing something. You know, if you look at our demographics, it's like 80% guys, 20% women. And I realize that most of the women who listen to this listen through with their boyfriend.
Oh, yeah,
so it's,
definitely.
It's way bigger numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Way bigger numbers.
Hot girls don't.
Yeah, all smoke shows. I don't know why they the show.
I'll tell you why. Because all those guys are from MMA and shit.
Yeah.
So they're all like kind of yoked out. Yeah, yeah, and the girlfriends come through. They're looking good.
We got some more dates coming up for you. We're super excited about all of it, man. What a time to be alive. Guys, this week, tomorrow night, when does this come out? This comes out Thursday. Okay. So coming up is Bakersfield on August 17th. We are live at Brooklyn's, everybody. That's right. Tinfoil Hat Comedy Night. Eddie Bravo, Xavier Guerrero, and myself will be live at Brooklyn's. Come get weird. It's going to be a packed show. Yes, I'm playing a barbecue place. Yes, I'm living the high life. Okay, that is good. After that, where else we got? Man, we got shows coming.
After that,
We got Washington, D.C., myself, Tim Dillon, and I'm going to try to get Xavier Guerrero out. I got to buy those tickets now. We will be at Washington, D.C., myself and Tim Dillon. Go grab those tickets. We're at the D.C. Improv. Then we're at San Francisco, September 13th, Cobbs. That will pack out. Grab your tickets now. Those tickets are available, and we're proud to announce that September 20th, Tinfoil Hat Comedy Night will be live in Austin. Joining us on this show, our good friend, Tony Hinchcliffe. So it'll be that dude, Xavier Grail, myself, Eddie Bravo, and Tony Hinchcliffe live.
Golden Pony.
The Golden Pony will be joining us live here in this. Guys, if you're listening to this on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button. Hit the little bell so you get a notification. They will not notify you, but I just want you to know that that is the big conspiracy. YouTube will not notify you about my shows, so you have to subscribe. Hit the subscribe button, okay? You want to support the show, go to tinfoilhatt-shirts.com. We have t-shirts up everywhere. This shirt should be up very soon. Bam!
People love that one. That shit's dope.
Oh, that is dope. So that should be up very soon. We have more and more. Of course, the classic we have is Alien Shot JFK. Go check that out. The Patreon is rocking. Go to patreon.com/tinfoilhat and grab all help support. I am putting more and more content up there every day. I'm usually doing about 3 hours worth of content every week. That is only for $5. What else we got? Oh, my special, everybody. You can see both my specials for free. Just go to samtripoli.com and both of them right there. Watch them for free. Let's say you want to buy the album and support the show. It's now available. Just put in Sam Tripoli live at the Viper Room and you can purchase the album or live stream it on YouTube.
And Pandora.
Pandora
has it too.
Spotify,
it's everywhere.
Everybody.
That's everywhere.
It's an hour and a half almost of power. Crushing it. And today's episode, I'm super excited to have our guests on.
You forgot Manscaped.
Well, that's what I'm about to do. That's what I'm about to do, dude. This show is brought to you by our good friends at Manscaped. Thank you, Manscaped, for supporting Tinfoil Hat. Manscaped, who's the number one men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers different precision engineering tools for your family jewels. I use it, dude. I'm Armenian. You know I'm going down there doing some weed whacking, brother. If XG wasn't uncomfortable with homosexuality, I would be showing him the Decepticon logo I have above my junk right now. Because I want these chicks to realize there's more than meets the eye, okay? Hey, dude, I do my stuff down here. I trim it up, and then I go to my face, okay?
You're not supposed to do that.
Why?
You're supposed to use a different blade than you're using for your balls.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's how you do it. Armenians do. We do what we got to do to survive. Even though I'm first world, I have a third world immigrant mentality. And I'll clean that up, too. My girlfriend does my back. I shave. I live the life, dude. I love it. Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Lawnmower 2.0 has skin-safe technology, so the trimming won't nick, nag, snag your nuts, okay? Manscaping's accents are finally a thing of the past, okay? And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you use on your balls. That's nasty. You're right, Manscaped. I shouldn't do that. But I am nasty because you know what? My name is Miss Jackson. That's how nasty I am. So just, guys, our friends at Manscaped, they're going to be a big part of it. Big part of the Tinfoil Hat Show. Without them, this is impossible. So why don't you guys go to manscaped.com and use the promo code TINFOILHAT, one word, and you'll get 20% off plus free shipping. How cool is that? Do you got a Manscaped yet?
Yeah, of course.
Dude, look at you. Look at that
beard.
No, but
you see that?
Yeah.
That's like for when you shave your balls. It's like a little mat, so you can just throw it away. Disposable.
Dude, I love that there's science on cleaning up your nuts. I love that,
dude. Leave no mess.
Get 20% off free shipping. Use promo code TINFOILHAT at manscaped.com. 20% off with free shipping. Clean those things, dude. Clean your jewels. The ladies appreciate it. If you want them, go down there and work it. They don't want to go on a safari.
Nah.
They want a nice, clean, tropical island. And that's how we do
palm
it.
Palm tree.
Yeah, they want a palm tree.
Palm tree.
Not a jungle. Think about the ladies. Guys, that's our read. And I'm sure our guests loved it. I'm very excited about having on our next guest. What time was that at? Oh, man, I'm going to take a beating on that one. All right. Joining us, I guess, he is a He's one of the best to do it. His research is solid. He's controversial. He's not afraid to talk some smack. Please welcome Jan Serving to the show, everybody. Jan, how are you, dude? How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Dude, do you want some Manscaped, brother?
Go ahead and send me some, dude.
Dude, we're going to set you. I might do that because you're nice enough to come on the show. I appreciate you. Tell us,
I got a question, though, before we start. Where did the term tinfoil hat originate?
Well, you know what's so funny? When I had this show that I did on this feed before it, and it was called the International Bad Boys Hour. And me and the co-host, who we're really good friends now, but we had a big falling out. And so right around then was like the whole Clinton hijacking the primary from Bernie Sanders. And I was watching all these guys talking about it. And I always have been in the conspiracies my whole life. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to talk about it. I'd like to talk about it. So I go, what would be a cool name? And I said, you know, what is the one name that is so super duper demonized? What term, what name? And I go, tinfoil hat. I go, I want to be the NWA of conspiracy podcasts. I want to be niggers with attitude. You know what I'm saying? So I go, okay, I'm going to take tinfoil hat and I'm going to own that shit. And that's where I got tinfoil hat with Sam Tripoli. And that's where the name comes from. I just say, what? My whole goal in life is when you Google tinfoil hat, my podcast comes up first and then everything lasts. So we own the name. So that's kind of where it's from.
Well, originally, it was coined by Sir Julian Huxley, the eugenicist.
Oh, no!
In an article called The Tissue Culture King. And, of course, his brother, Aldous Huxley, was the leader behind the CIA's MKUltra program.
Oh, you are good, dude. You bring it right back around. I like that, dude. I like that.
So, yeah, you know, here's the quote where it originates from, and it's out of an article. I had to go to Princeton to actually pull the article, but you know, he was a serious eugenicist. He and Aldous Huxley really promoted all of the sex, drugs, and rock and roll to get the kids and youth caught up into the '60s counterculture movement. The MKUltra program was headed by Aldous and Julian Huxley, and so the quote is: the readers will perhaps ask how ourselves expected to escape from the clutches of the superconsciousness we had created. Well, we had discovered that metal was relatively impervious to the telepathic effect and had prepared for ourselves a sort of tin pulpit behind which we could stand while conducting experiments. This, combined with caps of metal foil, enormously reduced the effects on ourselves. We had not informed Bugala of this property of metal. So that, folks, is the very first origin of the concept of a tinfoil hat.
Man, you are wonderful. I love that, dude. That was great. Thank you, dude. That was hilarious. That's great. So, dude, this is you, man. I love your research. I love what you do. I love that. I'm going to keep the name.
I don't just... Yeah, you know, when you're up there with Eddie Bravo in Bakersfield, say hi for me. I used to hang out with that guy.
Oh, we'd love to have you back. Why can't you come back and hang out?
Well, I don't know if I want to drive 3 hours to Bakersfield. You know?
Okay, I respect that. But anytime you're in LA, come hang out, dude. Come hang out. So I think this is a wonderful time to have you on, especially now with like this kind of week. That, do you consider yourself a conspiracy theorist, or what would you call it if you had to pick a label?
I'm a forensic researcher. I don't deal with theories. I go into university archives. I pull the factual documentation. We've been able to back up our research for a decade on all of this stuff. You know, that's what I do. I try not to promote anything that I haven't proved. So.
Yeah. I love it. So as we get through this week that we've seen, this kind of week where we talked about in the show that there would come a day where it's like there's two kind of perceptions or realities, you know, and this we have this thing with this Jeffrey Epstein mysteriously suiciding, you know, getting committing suicide, and then a lot of people getting red pilled. But leading up to that was a
suicide, air quotes.
Yeah, air quotes. where we
just happens to shut down half of the Clinton investigation, right?
Right. Because, right.
You know.
But as we kind of saw a tick for tack of what is being presented as Trump versus Clinton, this tick for tack, you know. He gets arrested. There's some shootings going on. They release documents. Epstein kills himself. But the big thing we were talking about was the shooters and these false flags and everything that kind of comes out, that these kids kind of have this look on their face like, what just happened? What did I do? I don't know. They always have that same blank stare, and immediately people come out.
Yeah, you know, there's a paid hate group of Hollywood actors called the GDL or Goyim Defense League, and they go around and they spread all this hate and they encourage these shootings, and they're funded financially by a guy who happens to be running for president right now, from the research that we've done. And in my opinion, Tom Steyer is behind that, and he funds a group called Next Gen America that, you know, and one of his former employees who works directly with these GDL people, Samaria Salazar, they go around and they recruit actors to go all over the internet and spread hate speech to encourage these shootings. And the goal is to get rid of the Second Amendment, to shut down free speech. And, you know, and in the long run, and this may see the farthest out there, but when you get into it enough, you'll realize it. But the goal is to make us weak enough for Islamic takeover.
Why Islamic takeover?
Well, because, you know, when you get deep into the occultist research, John Brennan was Islamic, the former head of the CIA, Obama, lots of Islamic connections. But the occult, the history of Hassani Sabah, the occultists, I'm getting some weird feedback. The occultists and whatnot, they all tie into Islam. And there's been this creep of Islamicism into Europe. It's been happening here in the U.S. They want everybody solely blaming the Jews and looking at the scapegoat over here while not paying attention to the guys knocking on the back door and coming over the wall, you know?
I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, John Brennan, the whole thing is that there was always this notion like, oh, John Brennan is a Muslim, and why? And I'm sure I'll be corrected if I'm wrong. But
well, he factually is. In fact, you can find talks of him speaking Arabic online, and then he was at the Hajj in Mecca.
Yep.
And and of course, all around the city of Mecca is posted Muslims only. So, you know, how is he there unless?
Wasn't there a notion that the royal family's allowed like a couple guests, non-Muslims, in, and that's kind of where they hatched 9/11?
The head of the CIA, and he speaks fluent Arabic. I don't, you know, I think he's been in with the club for a long time, you know. And when you start to see the agenda, it connects in too many different directions.
So we got this whole thing with these shootings, and people can't come to grips with the thought that maybe these things are false flags. And even though,
or even if they're not false flags, people are being, you know, stupid, you know, lesser intelligent people are being manipulated into this behavior. And then you got people on Seroquel and Prozac and whatnot. And this stuff is never looked at. Of course, single parent families are never looked at as well. But you have people that want to blame all of their problems on someone else, and they make easy dupes and fall guys for this stuff.
Yeah, and dude, it's just like there's always these weird connections in these shootings. They're always the witnesses always talk about three to four men in black fatigue walking in, shooting everybody. And then it gets whittled down to one guy that they automatically know where he is. They automatically know his social media. They automatically know everything about this guy. And then you start looking at their parents, especially these last two shootings, the Dayton shooting and the El Paso shooting, both CIA and Mossad connections.
And both of them get arrested like it's nothing?
Yeah.
But you're a black guy and you're selling cigarettes and you get gunned down.
Yeah. And then you see that, you know, wow, every time the cameras just aren't working. Every time. They're not working.
Not working.
And have you ever done any research into any kind of voice of God?
Mean like radio to brain type technology?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's some out there. Who was it? Oh, goodness. Delgado was doing radio control research of cattle and dogs and cats and stuff like that back in the 50s and 60s, Jose Delgado. I don't know how far they got with that. I wouldn't be surprised if they've taken it further to be able to beam word straight into people. I mean, obviously, you hear people proclaiming that they've been chipped or whatever, but I don't know how much credence I give to that or not. It's a lot easier to, you know, years ago, back in 2014, I renamed psychedelics suggestogens because the drugs cause hypersuggestion. And it's a lot easier to give someone a drug, you know, that causes hypersuggestion like LSD or ayahuasca or psilocybe mushrooms or something, and then, you know, get them to do things from that angle. And they're not even aware that of the level of suggestion that these substances cause. Like, if you've ever heard a Beatles song, for instance, it can impact the effect of the experience directly on these substances. And I had done a long write-up on this fact years ago called Entheogens, What's in a Name?
Whoa.
How the drugs cause that level of hyper-suggestion.
So are you saying that the combination of the drug and the song has a certain effect?
It can. So if you've heard a particular song and you're expecting, you know, let's say you do LSD and you've heard Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds or whatever, or you've heard Timothy Leary's, you know, yapping mouth, you could have been programmed with the idea that the experience should have a religious outcome. And so that is the experience that you'll have on it. So let me just pull up an interesting little quote here from Tim Leary, if I can just have a second to pull this up. It gets pretty interesting, though. But let me see here. Oh, wow. I'm getting a bad feedback loop again there.
We don't have anything on our end.
Well, the Grateful did the same thing. Like, yeah. If you listen to Grateful Dead on Napster,
check this out.
Better.
So this is a video, and I just re-released it yesterday on my YouTube channel. But Leary's hanging out with a bunch of the MKUltra guys, and he says, our undercover agents in Los Angeles were very cool about, and they did more in a very laid-back way, and it's never been as popular as some of the other, you know, the buses running around the country painted in Dayglo, talking about Ken Kesey and the Merry Pranksters being undercover agents. And then Oscar Janiger replies, yeah. And then Zinberg says that the visionary experience and all of the things that he was doing at Harvard and the others, his residents and the rest he was giving LSD to, they never had a visionary or ecstatic experience. That the whole thing was a California invention, he said. Leary replies, wonderful, they're right. Janiger says, the only time it happened was when you crossed the Colorado River. In other words, it was the California propaganda and the message that they were selling that it was a spiritual experience. And then, of course, Professor Carl Ruck and Gordon Wasson under MKUltra Subproject 58 came up with the name Entheogen to help market the drugs to the kids. Originally, they were called schizophrenogens and psychotomimetics, you know, to mimic schizophrenia or to create psychosis, to generate psychosis. And the kids didn't want to take schizophrenogens and you know, psychosis mimicking drugs. So then they renamed them to entheogens to make kids think that it was a God generating experience that you were having when it's all based on hypersuggestion.
Now, what is the exact definition of hyper? What was the word you used there?
Hypersuggestion. Well,
what's the definition of that?
Well, all right. Well, you know, it's funny that you asked that, because when I created the term, I had to create the definition of the word in the article. So I'll just read it for you guys here just a second here. Let me pull it up. So a suggestogen would be roughly defined as a substance or substances formerly known as hallucinogens, psychedelics, entheogens, schizophrenogens, psychotomimetics, etc., and many other various names that have been used historically to suggest a person to someone else's will, often to do evil or bad while under the influence of such substances, which generate hypersuggestibility in the taker. Hypersuggestibility is so increased by such substances that their mere name can affect the outcome of the experience of their use.
Ah.
Hence, plural suggestogens. Historically, in the 1950s and 60s, such substances were used in an attempt by men such as Aldous Huxley and Gordon Wasson, along with the CIA's MKUltra program, to recreate the biblical fall. And so, you know, and then let me just read you this quote by Marlene Dobkin de Rios. She's the former professor of anthropology at Cal State Fullerton. And she states that psychedelic substances like ayahuasca create a state of hypersuggestibility in which persons are very open to being influenced by others. Many traditional cultures have utilized this condition to inculcate cultural values and behaviors in young people as they receive initiation into adulthood. In the West, countercultural values can be inculcated into young people when using these psychedelics, especially when using them in an antinomian context. And of course, antinomian means other, relating to the view that Christians are released by grace from observing the moral law. And so it's, you know, when you think of hypersexed, drugged, fornicating in the mud to their rock idols, you know, like at Woodstock or whatever, you know, you get it, rock idols, you know, and yeah. It's like once you get the term rock idols, and, you know, you're not supposed to worship rock idols or idols made of stone, and then they put rock idols in front of the kids in the form of musicians.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
It's crazy.
So let me ask you something. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. Maybe what you're saying in terms of what happened to me is true. There was a time when I was really, like, not in a good place mentally when it came to my career. Some fan sent me and a former co-host some chocolate mushrooms. And I decided one day to go to a K-Rock acoustic Christmas. And I was really, like, in bad places where my career was in life. So I ate these shrooms to just enjoy what I thought was going to be this incredibly corporate event. I end up seeing Prophets Against Rage, Prophets of Rage, all these bands that, run the jewels, these bands I really like. So as I'm outside chilling, there comes this thought over my head that I am exactly where I need to be in life. I'm exactly where I need to be. My career is exactly where it needs to be. And ever since that moment, I've never had a real, like, oh, fuck, what am I doing with my life shit? I've really been kind of, now, I'm not going to lie to you. There's struggles and other things. I'm not saying I'm a shaman water walker, dude. I mean, I'm like anybody. I have my things. But in terms of that moment and that aspect of my life, my career, I've never really worried about anything from that. It is... And what you're saying could be 100% true. I'm not saying it's not. It probably is. I'm going to give you the benefit of that. But is that bad at this point? If the result of that thing...
If you're doing all right in your direction of life, that's fine. But the issue is that in many people, it causes a state of extended adolescence or arrested development, essentially, where they... you know, where they don't wake up and realize their full life's potential. They're spending their life going to... you know, parties and raves and doing drugs rather than building a business and a family and whatnot. And then when they hit their mid-40s, they go, oh, crap, I want kids and a family, but now it's too late, you know.
I do get
that. And so, and that plays straight into the socialist agenda. You know, people that have families and large extended families, they don't need socialist mommy and daddy government to take care of them when they're older. You know, they and the extended family can take care of themselves. So you got to wipe out the family, and you have, you know, single moms and this sort of stuff that rely upon a check from the government every month that are really about the promotion of socialism and whatnot. So, you know, that's the ultimate goal. But if you're doing well with, you know, what you're attempting in life, then, you know, then go with it. You know, I had back in the day, I was offered to do open mic night and stuff at the Comedy Store. I used to hang out down there with the guys a lot, I just ended up choosing a different path. That's all.
No, I'm totally cool with that.
Was that the first time?
No,
you did
I've done shrooms before, and I understand exactly what he's talking about. This pushing off of it. Of adulthood and staying in adolescence. I see there is some. I always say this, like, sometimes. You know, when comedians come to me and they give me career, they ask for advice in their career, I give them what I believe, and then I give them the advice of what I saw successful people do or what they might term as successful, like the Tom Segura's, the Joe Rogan's, and all these people that have had wonderful careers, you know? And I go, what I do when I'm happy with it, you know?
Throw your friends under the bus and then run with their work.
So what I do is what I see within groups is, like, in particular, like, feminism. I see there is a lying of what is going on, and there's this towing the company line sometimes with, like, get your do this, and then when you're almost 40 and it's really hard to have kids, now you're like, oh, fuck, I wish I had kids, you know?
Gloria Steinem did, in fact, work for the CIA, by the way.
Sure.
I'm glad you brought her up, you know, and she was a Playboy bunny and whatnot, but I have a quote here from the former director of Central Intelligence, and he states, this is from William Colby, and he states, I might quote Miss Gloria Steinem, one of those so assisted, who commented that, quote, the CIA wanted to do what we wanted to do, present a healthy, diverse view of the United States, end quote. I never felt that I was being dictated to at all. And that's the former head of the CIA quoting Steinem, one of the key founders of the feminist movement, about how the CIA was funding her whole feminism movement, you know, and that goes into the whole extended adolescence thing. And when you realize that, you know, like Karen Strauhan, for instance, she's done a lot of work exposing the farce that is feminism, you know, Miss Magazine promoted that stuff as well. But then when you realize the ultimate goal is to destroy the family and interrupt things and then act like, you know, women are the victims of everything, you know, in life, and men are the fault, and we're the great suppressors and whatnot, then you begin to see the agenda. But, you know, it's promoted in universities before women learn any critical thinking and whatnot, and then they go around promoting all of this misandry and thinking that they're doing society justice. And then you have this Me Too movement crap headed by, you know, one of the worst of them all, Bill Clinton, and these people that were, you know, behind all of this stuff, you know. But the goal is to, you know, spin the blame. It's all social engineering.
For
you know,
sure.
It's all form of eugenics. Like, there is a very interesting Planned Parenthood document that talks about them promoting a lot of these agendas called the Jaffa Memo. And in there they talk about how they're going to educate for family limitation, encourage increased homosexuality, put fertility control agents in the water supply. We also see that with soy formula and all of this kind of stuff. But this is a document that was published by Planned Parenthood and on March 11, 1969 by Frederick J. Jaffe, vice president of Planned Parenthood. And they have all of these talking points in this document of what they're going to promote to the population. We see all of that stuff happening now.
For sure. And I agree with a lot of stuff you're saying, of course. I also want to ask you, you know, do you think that the whole traditional get married early, have kids, get a house, and like the misery that you see some people in and that, and how like you get all these things that are like financially dependent upon you, which really restrict Jance, let me finish my point.
All right.
Okay. Let me just finish. And that you move into these things where you get all these different, these debt collecting situations that really, really limit your ability to make some kind of decisions on things you wish you could do, whether it's career changing and all that stuff. So you're stuck into this one kind of thing, this traditional way of movement, of living. Is there any thought to that?
Well, you know, here's the thing is, you know, back before they wrecked the extended family, we had a whole support unit there, and it wasn't all about taking loans out and things like that. That's more of a modern situation. But, you know, I'm a parent, and it's the best thing that I've ever done is having kids. I don't regret having children. I would love to have more children, even though I'm getting a bit old too. But, you know, here's the thing is you can get, you know, caught in your career and do all of these things. And most people, when they hit later in life in their 40s, they look back and they go, crap, I'm too old to do these things. Now, women obviously have a biological clock. And when they hit menopause, it's completely over for them and they can't do it. So Is there, you know, family and a support group to help? Are you just out taking loans? Are you just out, you know, a single mom and you haven't established a solid relationship to build up a strong family? And a lot of people, it's quite the opposite. When you have children, it encourages a higher work performance and higher output to not only take care of your children, you know, because you're taking care of more than just yourself. And, you know, a good alpha male knows that he has to provide for the family, you know. So, you know, a good alpha male is going to step up and increase production, whereas, you know, other people, slackers and whatnot, are going to, you know, run off and, you know, just be flipping burgers or whatever, and then caught in a position where they might not do any more. But then the question is, would they have ever done more?
But there are people who don't have kids that have done well. I mean, like,
and there are plenty of people who have kids and have done well, right?
And there are people who have tons of kids who crash and burn. I get really nervous when we start putting into this equals success, this equals failure. I think
what I'm talking about is like the extended adolescence. See, what we're discussing here is planned eugenics and population control. And the whole goal, which these people talk about, you know, with Julian Huxley and these guys, they talk, and this Planned Parenthood document I was just reading from, they talk about using these specific agendas for that purpose.
I understand these are their goals. Like the internet, right? The internet was created to be able to get information from this fucking CERN to each other, these information. And then it was used to be used as propaganda. Now it seems like they're fucking crashing down on the fact that it's gotten away from them. So what I'm saying is that I have people, these conspiracy theorists out there screaming at me, oh, this guy doesn't have kids. He doesn't do that. I'm a happy man. Am I perfect? I have my ups. I have my downs. I have my problems. I have my troubles. I'm a happy guy. I'm not saying that I, because I'm different, this is your whole theory doesn't work. What I'm saying is when we start putting people into, when things are put into boxes, you either got this or you're
all
doing
I'm
it wrong.
All I'm talking about is their stated agenda to get people to move away from having families and waiting until later on in life. Like, let's say if you decide to settle down, let's say you're 50 years old and you want to get married and have kids, you're going to be limited. Let's say if you were in your 30s, you would have had three. Now you might have one. Like, I have a buddy who didn't realize that he wanted kids until his mid-50s. And so they were able to have one child and that's it, you know. And now he's like,
but he does
shoot,
have
I wish
kids.
I wish I started 20 years sooner.
I'm with you on that.
But you know, if you don't have children, it's hard to understand the experience as well. But I'm not trying to bash on you or attack you personally. I'm just trying to clarify the eugenics agenda that's very clearly stated by people like Julian Huxley and Margaret Singer and, these people, Planned Parenthood, these people, and what their stated goal was, you know, and they hate families. They promote socialism. And the best way to promote socialism is to get people caught up on a welfare system where they can't support themselves. They don't have the support of the extended family. And then when they get older in life, they're going to be reliant upon a socialist system.
I understand that. I completely understand what you're saying, that there is a movement by these people to put out to destroy the family. I agree with that. But what I'm just trying to say is that not everybody that doesn't have kids is falling for this program. I would tell you that 90% haven't even heard of this thing, and they're not doing it.
That's just it. If people were aware of the program, it wouldn't be effective, right? They have to be unaware of the program, really, for it to have its best effect on society.
I understand you're saying.
If everybody knew that Julian Huxley and the CIA and these people were promoting a eugenics program, and it was all about hypersexualization and promoting drugs and birth control and all that stuff, it wouldn't work as a program. If everybody knew that the MKUltra program was the counterculture and sex, drugs, and rock and roll, it wouldn't have worked as a counterculture.
No,
see what I'm saying?
100%. I understand. It's like in the JFK movie where Joe where they're like, the shooter doesn't even know he's the shooter. You know, like, I completely understand what you are saying. I just get a little weird when we're like, hey, dude, the only way and the right way to do it is have family, kids, house, home, and you're controlled by that stuff. And when I know people who've gotten married, had kids, and after a while
hold on, dude.
Let me finish my thought, man. And they're like, hey, man, I can't do anything. I can't do these things I really want to. And maybe 15 years later, like, yeah, I love my kids, but I never got to do all that stuff. I'm saying when we start putting shit in the boxes that we only have to do this, 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 and this, that's when we start. It just starts getting weird that, like, no matter what somebody does, they're falling for a fucking deep state game. And at the end of the day, it's like, you just have to find happiness. And if happiness is having kids, have fucking kids, man. But if happiness is, like, traveling the world and seeing everything and having no anchor down, then go have no anchor down. I like this notion that there's only one way to live under the fucking sun. It's ridiculous.
You can also travel the world with kids, too.
But you can
myself,
without
you know?
Kids, and it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, but as a 26-year-old, you know how expensive it is to have a kid? I can't imagine it.
My 18-year-old cousin is having a kid.
Yeah.
And I love him with all my heart, but that kid's life choices have been completely and utterly limited.
Yeah.
And I got a brother of mine who's 42, has no kids, travels the world, and bangs strippers all day. Both of them, when they take their last breath, are going to be, fuck, man, I either did this right or I did this wrong. When we start putting people into boxes because of a fucking memo,
what I'm saying is it's not a box. You can study the eugenics agendas and documents and how they're specifically promoting that.
We can't.
You're taking it like I'm attacking you personally.
No, I'm not. Because
before we started the show, I had no idea if you had children or not. So I'm just saying what the eugenicist
you're saying
agenda
there's
was.
A certain way, and I'm saying that's where we get in the fucking problems when we start saying that this is the way to do it, regardless of lizard people have a memo saying they're breaking this up. The truth is that happiness is the end. And some people have happiness with children and some people don't. And that's the end of the day. That's it.
But if you don't have children, you can't know. And
that's fine. That's fine. But you don't know what it's like to be in your 40s and have kids and travel the world. That's where we're at. Because for every person you talk to...
I have kids and I've traveled the world. I took my son to Peru with
that's
me
great.
For over a
but
month.
But you've never
and
done
and
it without
whatnot,
kids.
So.
For every person you know that
but
doesn't
can,
have
we
kids...
We can move on. You know, we can switch because we're focused on this one issue here. And I'm not trying to cause an argument with you.
Well, I love you to death. And I appreciate you coming on my show. It's just like, I just feel like I on the show do a lot of fucking just like, let people live their lives. Yes, there is a deep state that wants to break up the family. I fucking understand that, and I respect that. We will move on. But at the end of the day, it's like, I want people to live their life, and that's all. That's all I've ever wanted. Well, I want to get into MK Ultra, and I want to get into the deepness of it. Where does the whole program start?
Well, 1950, if you want to go back to the real beginnings of it, have you ever heard of a book called The Brave New World?
Yes.
Okay, that's written by Aldous Huxley in the 1930s. That's the blueprint for what eventually became the MKUltra program.
And it was basically about how can we, because I've read memos, I've read all the stuff, that basically we want to create a person that we can control. And that
a society of alphas, betas, deltas, epsilons, and where people no longer have their own children and families. Everybody is born from a test tube, and everybody is given a drug called Soma that is both a psychedelic and a birth control drug, and everybody is hypersexualized, and everybody's lives life very robotic and natural birth, for instance, is considered like totally an ancient, outrageous idea because everybody's born in an incubator and or from a test tube and whatnot. Parents don't exist anymore, and this became the foundation of the blueprint as well as Huxley's book Island for the CIA's MKUltra program. And then Huxley Well, the whole Huxley family has been involved in this agenda since the mid-1800s. Thomas Henry Huxley, who was Darwin's propagandist, was the one of the first people behind this agenda. You know, he was called Darwin's bulldog. Go ahead.
And is there any rumor that Darwin was a Freemason?
I don't know if he was a Freemason or not. He later came out and said a lot of his work was probably wrong. Julian Huxley and the scholars since then have had to basically completely rework and rewrite his theory. It's not even Darwin's theory anymore, what we have today, but they still call it Darwinism. You know, they came out with the new synthesis, the new synthesis, et cetera. But they're Pigliucci, et cetera, 10 years ago, they rewrote the whole theory again, trying to update it. But there's a lot of problems with, Darwin's original theory. But, Julian Huxley rewrote one of the new versions of it before he died. But their grandfather was the original propaganda manager, and they created a team called the X Team, which is where we get the X Club, and then that became like X Men and X comic series and all this stuff. But he created an X team who went into, and it was eight scholars who went into universities where they promoted Darwin's agenda at the academic level, and then that's how it was seeded into society. And then so when we get here, let me pull up this X Club here. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, so we have X Club. And Thomas Henry Huxley founds it. It had guys like Edward Franklin and George Busk, Herbert Spencer, etc. But all of these guys are who went out into the public to seed it. Then that goes into the comics like by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, etc. with the X-Men. And then you can see it in other places like SpaceX and all of these things. Yeah. It's all a continuation of the same idea.
And it's all from the top. It's all people. You know, I get into this, we just see this being played out. Like Eddie Bravo comes on all the time. He talks about how like space is being pushed on the children. Dinosaurs are being pushed on the children at the earliest. I used to have a joke about like they shouldn't teach religion until college. And they should have some religious fair where you get to meet all the different religions and you get to pick one you want. I mean, you look at your religion and your stuff like that. You know, it's probably the only thing besides your name that your parents pick on you. It's all about indoctrinating very early.
Because if they waited until we were 21, no one would do it.
Yeah.
It'd be fuck this.
Well, it's also understanding. I've spent years studying various religions. I've written books on Christianity and shamanism and all of this stuff. But, you know, Christianity is based on truth is God. Islam is based on will is God. And, like the Satanist creed is do what thou wilt is the whole of the law. And then Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, etc. But, you know, it's understanding what the core is. It's not, when you understand, for instance, that Christianity places truth is God, it puts a whole new perspective on it. But, free society actually comes from Christianity, and a lot of people don't understand that. Like, all the freedoms that we have today come out of Christianity. And I used to write horrific books against Christianity, et cetera. And then I started studying a little bit more deeply. And once I got my mind around what Logos was, like Logos Media, and once you get that Logos is where we get the word logic from. Logic is the art of non-contradictory identification or truth. You know, and so once you get that it's all about truth and that logic comes from Logos or the word, you know, it brings a whole new understanding to what it is. But, you know, if you're thinking it's a guy on a throne floating in space, it kind of sounds pretty ridiculous, you know.
Right.
And then we're given this image of Santa Claus that totally convolutes things, right?
Right. It's interesting. I like, you know, it's like I get into like, the Jesuits, what role they had in creating all these different kind of religions, you know, like a lot
Absolutely.
Of things we associate with Christianity comes from the Jesuits in the 1500s, the Vatican coming out in the 1500s, creating this eternal damnation. What role does the black cube of Saturn have in all this with these attributes that are actually black cube of Saturn is projected onto this dude named Satan and all this stuff. And
the Cobblestone and Mecca, etc. That's all related, you know. That's a whole other rabbit hole, though, that you can go down for a long time.
For sure. But what we see now is this. I know I've always been saying, I go, let's take a look at, like, the Nazis. Let's take a look at, like, what came from when the Nazis were beaten, where'd they go to the Vatican, and what happened with the Nazis. They entered an expansion draft, and, you know, Britain, Russia, United States started picking their favorite Nazis, and, you know, some of those Nazis came over and created not only NASA, but created the CIA. And then you take a look at how many organized crimes in the Western culture are straight up Catholic, like they have a Catholic background. So now you have the CIA, which has Nazis connections, which is very much connected to the Jesuits. And now you have the fucking the mafia, which has Catholic fucking background. So you got these Jesuits playing both sides of the law. And how crazy that is.
And you should look up the Grand Mufti of Palestine and Hitler. You know, Hitler's largest Waffen-SS military division was the Hanjar division, and they had over 30,000 people, and that was all Islamic, and that's a big thing that they never talk about. But a lot of, Hitler was very favorable to Islam as well. And but Islam is a rabbit hole that most people never study. You know, they think it's the religion of peace. What is the religion of peace about Islam is that when they either subjugate everyone or kill all of the kafir, non-believers, then the world will be at peace. That's how it's the religion of peace.
But how do you come to grips with the fact that we are bombing the fuck out of the Middle East and this war?
When you read their own texts and how they openly state that they want to kill all non-believers, 51% of the Quran, for instance, is about killing and subjugating non-believers. And then it starts giving you a whole new perspective of what the religion is about.
Hey, I'm Armenian.
But you got to sit down and read their stuff. I mean, their Sharia texts, their Tasfir, etc. Pretty hairy stuff. They're not just innocent poor victims. That's, in fact, we have imams, videos of imams talking about how they're intentionally PRing all of that. There's a really good, I should, send it to you sometime, but there's a really good video clip of these imams talking straight up about how they're going to use Palestine to promote a humanitarian agenda to get everybody to think that they're the poor victims.
But with that, we are bombing the fuck out of them, correct?
Yeah, and they are, let's see, every 2 days for the last year or two in Europe, they've blown up churches. They, they kill people all over the place doing terrorist attacks and stuff. But you got to realize that that is part of their religion. Their religion is about killing the kafir.
But we are bombing. I mean, like, if we had to go in the last 20 years, the percentage of Muslims that have killed Christians versus Christians who have killed Muslims, what would you put that at?
You would be frightened. Like, in the last couple of months, there's been over 20,000 Christians killed in Africa alone. You would be frightened to realize how many Christian groups are attacked throughout Africa, the Middle East, Iran, Iraq, etc. I'm constantly getting articles about these attacks. You had, the attack in Sri Lanka recently. This is a very common thing. Just because we don't hear about much of it in the media in the West doesn't mean it's not a regularly occurring event. It's actually, there are constant. In fact, there was just an article that came out a few days ago about if Trump was going to step in and help a large group of Christians in Syria from getting killed by the Syrian government.
Okay, I understand that. I will. Everything you're saying right now is true.
I don't know the exact statistics, but you got to realize every Muslim country out there used to be a Christian nation. They've all been dominated and conquered. All of the cities that are mentioned in the Bible that like Paul wrote to,
right?
Those cities are gone because they were conquered by Islam.
Right. I mean, I'm Armenian. I know about the slaughter of the Turks and what they did. I perfectly understand that what Islam can do. But I'm saying is what the United States doing to the Middle East by dropping bombs every 12 seconds, is that any higher of enlightenment?
I would have to see the proof of that. But I think, what when you understand what Islam is really about, most of it's probably justified. Yes.
Okay, man. I'm okay. I love it, dude. You are welcome.
51% of the religion is about killing and subjugating non-believers. No other religion has a belief that they have to kill non-believers. No other religion is like that. They are the only one that the ones that believe that they have to kill or subjugate or turn everyone else into demis, which means that, like, Christians in Muslim countries have to pay a tax, and they're called demis, but they have to pay a tax to stay in those countries. They're not allowed to defend themselves. They're not allowed to state anything about Islam, etc. And if they do, they can be subjugated and killed for doing so. And that's just, you know, that's part of the religion itself. No other religion has these restrictions. You know, like I said, it's a religion based on will. You know, Allah is will. It's not like, you know, a lot of people confuse Islam as, you know, having the same God as Christianity. They're totally different. Christians worship truth as God. Muslims worship will as God.
So when you hear that these, you know, let's take Iran, and when they had a moderate president there, and we throw a coup and throw in a fucking complete and utter insane.
Talking about Ayatollah Khomeini. Yeah. I don't know about the politics of the 70s. I was like six when that
But that
happened.
Doesn't change it, dude. That doesn't change it because you weren't around. The point is, we went in there, we fucking installed a crazy person. So we had a moderate in there. You see pictures of a fucking moderate Iran, and then you see a picture of a fucking crazy. Now, I'm not saying what you're saying is wrong, but to sit there and say that we have had a hand in this. I don't like any killing.
I'm not saying we're totally innocent of stuff.
We're not even innocent at all. Not a little bit or a lot of it. We have instituted a fucking extremist out there to fit a war agenda. Now, what you're
do you know what a Muslim extremist is?
You tell me. Because all I know is that they're on the payroll. All I know is they're on the payroll.
The good Muslims are what we would call the extremists. They follow what the Quran and Sharia and the Hadith actually say.
Okay.
The bad Muslims are the ones that we get along with.
Okay. So listen. So we find out that Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and all these guys that are on our payroll. They're
Some
on our payroll.
But
a large amount of
the
them.
Muslim Brotherhood
these beheading
ISIS.
Videos. They've discovered that the CIA was paying a British PR company to make them. These are
The Muslim Brotherhood or ISIS was created by the Muslim Brotherhood. Unfortunately, the ISIS was created when we went in illegally into Iraq.
And John Brennan III.
You got to be careful of thinking. You know, see the idea is there's this victim mentality that Islam doesn't do
no
anything.
Victim,
and
man.
Everything that's
if you're telling
to them
me that Islam is bad, I will listen to you. I just cannot hear that we are above all that when we've done all this killing, man. We've done so much. We went in Iraq under false pretenses. We took out the entire government when you're only supposed to take out the head. That whole group of the Ba'ath Party or the other side. What it's Ba'ath.
And I'm not. I didn't say we're innocent. I didn't support what George Bush did either.
But these
when
are
you
real
read
roles.
What the religion is actually about. You'll rethink everything.
I'm not saying I hate all religious extremism at all, and that's fine if you're telling me that. I think the Jesuits created all this shit, pulled all that stuff in there to create a people that's just chaos. But you cannot take away from what we've done there, and we are the Christian nation.
And you can't
nation.
Take away from what they've done. Do you know why Thomas Jefferson created the U.S. Marine Corps?
Why?
Specifically to fight against Islam because they kept capturing our sailors.
But you weren't around then, Jan, so why do you care? You weren't around then. You don't know anything about that.
Do you realize that Islam invaded
Europe? You weren't around. That doesn't matter.
Let me ask you this. Do you realize that Islam invaded Europe 500 times before the Christian Crusades to stop them?
Right, right. That is,
yes. And it took millions of slaves?
And we invaded this area, slaughtered the natives. We go, like, dude, my point is, man, everybody's got blood on them. That's my point.
No, what I'm saying is 500 invasions into Europe, taking millions of slaves. Okay, you know, I granted there's a lot of propaganda out there that we should hate our own country and our own
government. I don't hate America. I love America. I love America.
You know, but
the anti-Islam
the
fucking shit is why
thing.
We're bombing the fuck out of everybody. This anti-Islam shit. And you know what? You could say
anti-Islam stuff. Read their own books. Do you realize the Muslim Brotherhood, the largest terrorist organization in the world, has 100 million members?
Right.
100 million.
Yeah. Dude, how can you call them a bigger terrorist group than the neocons? We are bombing the fuck out of how many countries? We are selling weapons that to a country that is bombing the fuck out of Yemen. We are complicit in genocide in Yemen. We are complicit. Christians.
And how much terrorist activity is Yemen doing as well? You have to look at both sides.
Oh, dude.
You know, dude, I get the propaganda that's out there that's sold
propaganda.
To us.
Dude, it's actually happening. We are doing it.
All of this is being sold by their side as a humanitarian crisis.
Hold on, stop. Jans, are you saying we are not in about six wars in the Middle East bombing the are you going on the record right now and saying we are not bombing them?
I didn't say we are not bombing
them. No, are
I'm
you saying,
saying
we are or not?
Actually
are you
is,
saying we're
you
not or not?
The,
are you saying we are or not? That's all I got. Well, I'll listen to you on this.
I already answered
no.
you.
No, are you saying yes or are you saying
I
not?
I already answered you. If you actually studied what Islam was, you wouldn't think they were the poor victims anymore. If you actually read their own texts, you would go, oh, my God,
hey,
what is this?
Jans, if they attacked us, I would say wipe them off the fucking map. I am an
okay,
Armenian.
So remember
I was killed.
Us at what about, what was it, 2001?
What? No.
Oh, come on, dude. Come on. You know that was inside. You know that was done by the neocons.
And
you know
who,
it's funded by
it,
them.
Okay, so if you believe it's only your own government that did that,
nope,
who does
I think
that
it's Israel,
them,
Saudi Arabia as well.
Does that benefit them or us if you believe that our government did it?
Well, I don't know. I there's a direct quote from Netanyahu who says 9/11's been very good for us.
You know, and of course, everybody wants to point at the, the dancing Jews or whatever, and
right.
then say, well, that's evidence that they didn't do it. But how come every year Muslims have huge celebrations over 9/11?
I don't know. Maybe because we're bombing the fuck out of them.
Well, how come their own imams talk about selling this whole agenda as a humanitarian crisis?
Because we're fucking funding extremists. And I'm not saying what you're saying isn't right. I'm not saying
that. Hey, but I'm saying if you get in and look at their own texts and information, you'll rethink everything, dude.
I understand what you're saying. And I'm telling you, I'll read it and you'll be, holy shit.
Since January, we've done 15 shows with an Islamic terrorism expert exposing all of this stuff.
Right. But listen, dude, you cannot deny that it is being funded, that these ISIS people, Jans, how come ISIS is not in any country that we get along with? How come they apologize to Israel?
They busted an ISIS terrorist cell here in Southern California several months ago.
Yeah.
Here's a clip from November 17, 2018.
Hold on, stop. That's not what I said. That's disingenuous. I go, how come they haven't attacked one of our allies? The only one they hit was Israel, and they apologized to Israel. They apologized to Israel. They apologize.
They attack our allies constantly.
What?
What about
who?
What about Notre Dame and stuff getting attacked recently?
Oh yeah, and that you didn't see the guys setting the fires up. You didn't see
exactly.
that.
And did you see that they were Muslims? Check out that. I just sent you a link. Check that out.
I love, dude. Can I just say something to you right now? I love you, dude, and I want you on all the time. This is what I love. I love a debate like this. Okay, I'll do this all the time. I have nothing but love. This is one of my favorite conversations. I'll do this with you all the time. I wholeheartedly disagree with the fact that you refuse to admit the invisible hand that the United States government has.
I agree with you 100%, and then I started investigating their own texts and their own beliefs and what they're doing, and realized that I was wrong. If you had asked me this in January, before we started this 15-part series on Islam, I would have agreed with you. But I've sent you two clips there to check out, and when you have a chance, check out those clips because I think it'll open your eyes as to how they are playing up the victim status to fall for our humanitarian appeals, you know, to get us to fall for the humanitarian appeal.
So you're saying that okay, I'm not saying. I personally don't think the two are mutually exclusive. I would tell you that there is a section of that group, or you can even tell me a large section of that group, which is saying death to the infidels. I will understand. I'm also saying that there is a large deep, dark, fucking dark budget, black budget movement to fund all this shit, which allows these groups of this military industrial complex to make a lot of money bombing the fuck out of them. We are losing money. Now, mankind cannot live in peace. Maybe there will always be war. Or maybe at the top, there's this group that's getting us all to fight with us. I don't think what you're saying is mutually exclusive from what I am saying. But I am telling you, it is ridiculous to sit there and go, we have no hand in the mass slaughter of what's going on.
Is that what I said? But how many, okay, look, there, you know, when you look at how many countries have been taken over, even in the last recent decades, by Islam, that they believe in killing and subjugating all non-believers.
Okay.
When you realize that they did 500 invasions into Europe before we invaded Islam 12 times in the Crusades.
But you don't care about history before you were born, Jans.
Brought up how they were the victims, but never mind the 500 attacks.
Jans, did Israel create Hamas?
There is a very serious.
Did Israel create Hamas?
What's that?
Did Israel create Hamas?
Absolutely not. But that is part of the propaganda. That is part of the propaganda. That is one of the conspiracy theories that they want you to believe.
Okay.
Because what it does is it makes you believe that the Muslims are poor victims.
No. Dog. In Israel, are you telling me that the Palestinians
I know the conspiracy theory well. I just sent you another link. we've done an entire
series. I will put all these links in the thing.
Look. We've done an entire series going into Islam and all of this stuff. We've done 15 shows so far with an Islamic terrorism expert, Lloyd DeYoung. I just sent you the link on that as well. You guys
have Sam Harris on too,
and refute the evidence that we provided there.
Yeah, I can't believe the Islamic terrorist expert.
I get all of the propaganda that everybody thinks that the Muslims are the poor victims of the Jews. That is the most common propaganda conspiracy theory out there.
So what you're saying right now is as we have a group, one group that gets funding from all these Western countries and another group which has their electricity, their water, everything else fucking controlled, okay. No weapons, no nothing.
That's totally false, dude. On last week's show, we did an analysis and breakdown of all of the Islamic funding into American universities, into propaganda. Did you know that Saudi Arabia pays three times more in propaganda than the Soviet Union ever did?
Saudi Arabia? I'm totally cool with every 100%.
All of these little countries. Dude, our last show with Lloyd Young, we did an entire breakdown and analysis of the actual monetary numbers of who is financing what.
I'm with you, dude. I can't stand Saudi Arabia.
47 times more money was coming from the Islamic countries than from Israel. 47 times.
And why is Trump selling arms to Saudi Arabia?
Well, that's a really good question that should be answered, isn't it?
Thank you.
But we also have to look at the facts of that.
Okay. What do you mean the facts of that? What are the facts of that?
We have to understand things like what do they know that we don't know? We assume that we have all of the answers, but we have to look at things more deeply.
Okay. All right. And what do you think could be out there that we don't know that would change the perspective that the government has constantly tried to veto selling drug and selling arms to Saudi Arabia, and our president has vetoed it over and over again? He vetoed. So our government or the Senate or the Congress tried to pass a law that would end selling arms to Saudi Arabia. Our president.
Okay, well, I would have to look into that more. So that's a good point. I'll look into that more. Do you have a citation you can send me for that?
I will. I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you. I'll send it. Go to DuckDuckGo. I'll find it and I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you. I love you, dude.
I would recommend you check out the stuff I sent you because I think it's really eye-opening, you know. And I believe just like you, you know, 7-8 months ago, and I really had my eyes opened on what is actually there versus what I thought.
Okay, I'm cool with that. Listen, I have to say this to you. I love this. I love this. I will do this. If I could do a show like this all the time, two people passionate about their view, I would do this. I want this show to be people discussing their fucking views. I'm not here in life to have conversations with people I only agree with. I'm not that at all. I am open to it all.
Sure.
Here, come on, talk. I have nothing but love for you. And I hope you leave this interview understanding that this was a fun conversation. And in no way do I ever have any ill will towards you at all or think anything bad about you. You are, the door is open to you to come on the show anytime you want. I love this.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And you, dude, I wish you nothing but love. And listen, dude, we're going to disagree, but that doesn't mean like there's any ill will or
well, sure,
I'm a deep shake still.
You know, check out the facts and, you know, base your decision on the facts, not what we're told to believe, because that's what I did for a long time. And then when I actually started working with a terrorism expert and going through 32 hours worth of primary documentation, it was very eye-opening, and I had to rethink everything.
I respect
that. So,
can you please tell our fans where they can find you and anything you want to promote to them?
Sure. Logosmedia.com, LOGOSmedia.com. Click on the support button there on the website. Also, you know, we go through listener support. So, you know, there's a Patreon link there on that page as well. But I have a large channel on YouTube with about, I don't know, about the same number of subscribers as you, about 66,000 subscribers. And there you go. That show right there that you just showed on screen, that's the one where we go into all the finances on Islam. Recommend people check that out and all the shows that I've done with Lloyd and Todd on Islam and their money and funding, et cetera. Very eye-opening stuff. But everything is there on the website and on my YouTube channel. And just go there and check it out. And, you know, click the subscribe and like buttons on our YouTube channel. And, you know, appreciate you having me on, and we'll have to do this again.
All the time. You are welcome back. I'm sure I'm going to hear about how I'm a deep state shill or whatever I am. But at the end of the day, I love this conversation. I love the passion, and I will have you on 1,000 times, all the time, anytime. So thanks for coming on, bud. I appreciate you. And we'll do it again soon, guys. I appreciate you, XG.
Course,
Aaron,
yeah.
Thank you. And we'll do again soon. Take care, everybody.
You too. Say hi to Eddie for me.
For sure.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.